Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's always up to something good. He's looking for ways to bless His people. And the Lord is trying to reach His people. He loves us in every way there is. As we take the Lord at His word, our world becomes greater and bigger. Our life has more possibility within it. As we include the Lord in our lives, as we seek Him to know Him, we can learn things far beyond our expectation. And it's very important that we do so. The Lord our God is good, and His return is very soon. He's coming back to bless people in every way of life. Once sin is gone, we talked about how Jesus is ending sin. Once it's gone for good, people will thrive without interference. And we will, this place, the earth will reflect the love of God. Isaiah said the whole earth will be full of His glory. There'll be no more hatred, no more divisions, no more slanders. All those things will become things of the past. Satan is trying to hurt God's heart by destroying His people. This is why, if you're going to survive and if you're going to thrive in life, you're going to have to learn to take the Lord at His word. There's no other possible way to win. This is the fight that we're born into. Satan is desperate, and he's trying to stop all progress and everyone from, he's trying to divide mankind from the knowledge of God. And he's motivated. So, with the love of God, we become motivated. Without the love of God, we're demotivated. Without the love of God, we become demotivated, less motivated. One thing Revelation teaches us in the area of what Jesus, chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus talked about the church, his address to the seven churches, the theme was love. If something happened to their love, something happened to their walk. Without His correction, they would begin to withdraw from God. If something ever happens to the love of God in you, something will happen to the way you think, the way you respond to the love of God, the way you love God, and the way you love His people. Anytime people have a problem with God, they'll have a problem with people. They'll have a problem also with His word, His instruction, His counsel, the very essence of what makes our lives wealthy. Not just in money, but in every healthy way of life. So, as we go forward, we want the wealthiness of God within our lives. You know, the things that, the peace, the joy, the love, the kindness, the durability, the generosity, the ability to be generous. All these things come from the heart of God, the love of God. When the love of God is stirred up in you, then it's easy to love other people. And when you love other people, you begin to store up spiritual wealth on your life, because God is going to bless you for all the things you do that blesses mankind. Your life can be an inspiration, or it can be a curse. Your life can work to inspire people to do what's right and be a blessing and become even wealthy in life, not just in character, but in finances as well. Because when we do, everybody working together, doing the right thing, a nation, that's where the wealth of a nation comes from. If you have enough people pulling the rope the same way, it's amazing what we can do alone. But when you have groups of people doing the same thing, the blessings are exponential. Every time somebody joins in. So a thriving town, it doesn't thrive with just a few people. A thriving town thrives because there's an abundance of people doing right. And they have kindness and love. They attract what they are. And also, thieves are attracted to money. But when there's a network of love in place, people will learn better. Now, there's something that the Word of God teaches that we need to be aware of in life. The more people that will walk in love, when people walk in His love, in God's love, great things begin to happen. And Satan don't want that. So he always sends people to ruin what God is doing. And most of the time it don't work, but sometimes it does. If there's a church that's thriving in life, the people are studying the Word, they have a church, they have a strong worship team, you know, miracles start happening. People start getting healed. Now, I've seen this many times. People will, they will begin to build and they'll begin to grow. But if the people don't know how to fight and resist the temptation of Satan, and not only temptation of lust and greed, but also if they don't raise a standard to stop division and factions from growing that accuse others and criticize others, then the whole work of God will be distorted and eventually stopped. But if people know how to resist the enemy, if they can stay in the love of God, they can continue the work of God. And most of the time, when a church, as they grow, the enemy always sends somebody to work division. And sometimes Christian people will do it by deception. The enemy wants to be in charge. And that's how the enemy works. And the people that love God, they want the will of God. I put it this way. Satan wanted preeminence, and he wanted everybody that exists, all the angels, to worship him and not God. Jesus came. He's the King of Kings. He became man. And before he died on the cross, he washed his disciples' feet. He gave them an example that they could never forget. That was unheard of for a king to wash people's feet. They knew that he was the Son of God. And they began to believe that he was the Son of God. And by the time they believed it good, he washed their feet. And Peter said, no, he was used to the world's way. In the world system, a king don't bow down and wash somebody's feet. He'll make his servant do it, or he'll expect his servants to wash his feet, and they'll fix his food. He'll eat first, and then his family, and then his servants. Human kings are not like God, unless they've been born again. Now, but as we go forward in the Lord, we learn how God does things, and it's totally different and better than the way the world operates. But everything of God operates from the position of His love. That's why Jesus made sure that the church that He had to rebuke, He talked about how they had to protect their first love, or their love, or stay in the love. Two churches He didn't have to rebuke. They had that down pat. But God loves us, and He don't give up on His people. Now, the love of God is going to take you very far in life. And I want you to know Him. And this is if you hear something that really blesses you on these broadcasts, you can hear it again. This This broadcast is on newlivingletters.com in real time. Now, by the time it hits the radio, it will have been on the website for weeks. So go to newlivingletters.com, all small case, newlivingletters.com. All these broadcasts, and there are many more like it, on newlivingletters.com. And it's free. No money is necessary. Just download it and share it with your friends. And I thank God for everybody who do so. I'd rather for you to listen to the word than to send money, and you can. And there's information on the website for that. But for now, let's continue with the word. This is Isaiah talking. And I'm going to read verse 9. The focus is on verse 10. Verse 9 reads, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." The inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness when God's judgments are in the earth. But first, there have to be people that love God for his judgments to be in the earth. Now watch verse 10. Verse 10 reads, this is Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 10 reads, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord." And then verse 11 says, "Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them." The Lord will ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. The Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, other kings, other men, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. So it's important to know that there are wicked people out there. No matter what happens, they're going to be wicked. They're going to choose the world's way. They're going to grow in greed. They're going to grow in lust. And they'll grow in pride. And they'll never, ever love God. And sometimes there are four types of hearts. The Lord talked about some people, they hear the word and they spit it out immediately. They don't want it. And it'll be as if they never heard it, because they are wicked. And then their heart is hard, and the word can't get in and do a work for them. And then some people are like, the word is sown amongst some stony ground. It'll catch enough dirt to spring up, but it don't have roots. So when the sun comes up and when the enemy tempts them, they fold, they dry up and wither away. They once said they loved God, they once worshiped God, and now they have nothing to do with it. All these kind of people, see, it's not just like people that totally love God and people are totally wicked. They become that over time. They can totally love God if that's what they choose. Or they can grow in wickedness if that's what they choose. If they don't stop it, they will. Because the end game of the world, your separation from God, which is death. Now, there's nothing worse for a man than to be separated from God. When you're separated from God, if a man go to hell, anything might happen to you down there. God has nothing to do with what happens in that place. Understand this. Hell owns Satan. And if you go to hell, hell will own you too. And Satan is down there. You can imagine what will happen to you. Now, but if you go to heaven, God is still there and you're connected to him. You're in life. This world rests between heaven and hell. This is as close as some people will be to heaven, and this is the future of those who won't go to heaven. They can't stay here because their bodies won't live. Everybody going to die. You got to do something about the sin problem. But Jesus Christ, thanks be to Jesus, that he saved us. He did something about our sin condition. You believe on him, you live forever. But see, even though people are good to the wicked, and even though people are kind, they won't learn righteousness. Now, you can study chapter 26 in Isaiah, the whole chapter. It's a lot going on. Verse 10 said, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. I'm going to back up to verse 9. I'm going to read it again. Verse 8. Let's start at verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments. Let's go to verse 7. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright doest weigh the path of the just. So God weighs the path of the just. Verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee, or you, you know, in modern English. The desire of our soul is to your name and to the remembrance of thee, of you. Verse 9. With my soul have I desired you in the night. Yea, my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Everybody will see the goodness of God. And then they'll decide what they're going to do with it. He said in verse 10, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. He won't receive it. He won't join in with it. He won't be righteous towards others. He'll let people do him good, but he's finding a way to do people the way to work wickedness for his own gain. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. He won't say God is good. He won't say God is my God. He won't say Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And even if they do, that the pull to the world is stronger than their love for God. And as they go in the world, as they fall away from the love of God, they change and they transform back into the whole world again. And they're actually worse off, because they tasted that God is good and rejected him. It's bad for people to do that. And it's terrible for people not to get saved in the first place. At least if you try to get saved and you see that God is good, you might join in. It's better for people to know God than to be lost. He said, verse 11, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. When the Lord is doing miracles, working miracles, they're trying to find fault. They leave. When the light is present, they walk the other way. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. They get upset. You know, Psalms chapter 2 said, why do the heathen rage? When God work miracles and do good for people, evil people get upset about it. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus because a lot of people followed him and they got envious. And then when they saw Lazarus, they wanted to kill Lazarus too. If you read on in the chapters, you'll find this for yourself. The wicked will do wickedly. Let me read 11 again. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed at their envy at the people. They'll be ashamed when it's too late for them. The fire of thine enemies shall devour them. See, when they go to hell, they will be ashamed. They can't come back, and they can't recover what was lost. And all that they once loved is separated from them. And they'll never drink water again, eat food again, and hopefully they won't ever see their loved ones again. And if they do, they cry harder because they know the pain of hell. See, it ended with fire. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. It's the Lord that works in us to do his good will. The more we love God, the more we respond to what God is doing. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Our thoughts and opinions are shaped by others, but as we get to know God, we learn who he is. Verse 14 said, they are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Now this is what happened to wicked people everywhere. You have increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like a woman with child that draweth near, the time of her delivery is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. People will pray when the chips are down, when things are not right. Then they'll seek the Lord. And this chapter goes on. It tells you a lot about the condition of people and how they think and how they operate. If your love goes south, other things go south with it. We have to continually choose to love the Lord our God. We have to continually choose to be ethical. We have to continually choose the love of God as we endeavor to make decisions. And people deviate all the time. But that's not God's will. And it's not God's best either. We need to be steadfast and unmovable and fully abound in all the wondrous works of life. God loves us, and he wants us to go forward and not backwards. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the Lord our God will see to it that we're truly blessed. The Lord has good things in store, and I want to see the mighty move of God. I want to see him as he go forward. And I want to see him, I want to see people live and do all this in his heart, because God has so many wonderful things to share with us and say to us and help us in. He helps us grow. He helps us live. He helps us do what's necessary. But without his love, all things stop. Without his love, all things stop. Without his love, all things stop. With his love, all things continue. And that's what we want. That's our greater desire. I want to see people live according to God's perfection. I want to see people thrive in life like they can. A couple that's married. Married people have chosen to be together. And now they have a new challenge. They must choose to remain together. They must choose, just like they once chose each other. Now they must continually choose each other. That's what love does. Love is a love. Faith comes from love. We don't have faith in the past only. We have faith all the time. Our faith should be just as current as our love. Now the Lord's love is steadfast for us. It's steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. He doesn't ask us to do nothing he doesn't do himself. God is perfect. He's a perfect leader. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, he don't force people into things. He guides them. He welcomes them. In life, everything is, it's what you do with it. It's God who, God gave us raw materials. It's up to us to do what we're going to do with it. You know, we have to, if you want your marriage to be good, you can't force somebody to love you, but you can love them. You can help them when they need you the most. You can seek to be a blessing. These are the things that you can control. You can have temper and composure. You don't have to lose your temperance. And you can help people when they can't help you. You can love them regardless of how they are. If they decide to leave, then that was their choice. They may regret it. They may come back. They may not. But the things that that make us who we are abounds when we love God. In every person there are deep treasures. God puts something in people. And I've noticed that people say things that are just profound. Sometimes you wouldn't expect it at their age for them to say something as profound as they did, and it's accurate. God put that there. Now, everybody has deep treasures. You don't have to, a husband don't have to go and look for other women outside of his wife. If he loves her, and this works with women too, if you love your spouse, if you're a woman and you love your husband, and you sit and you spend time talking, you're going to find that there are endless treasures within them. God put a part of himself, a great part of himself, in every one of us. Remember, God operates in seed form. He blesses us. It starts out in seed form, and we grow from glory to glory. There's no limit to how much we can grow. There's no limit to how much we can accomplish. There's no limit to it. The only limitations are those that people decide to walk in. But as far as God is concerned, you can always grow. See, people have deep treasures within, and they can grow. And people are always encouraged to grow in a loving atmosphere. Children that come from a loving home, they can grow, they can thrive. If they want to. But people who come from a broken home, they have a hard time trusting people and going forward. They have hurdles before them. If they come from a violent background, they have a lot of hurdles before them. But God can show them how to overcome all of their issues, all of their problems, all of their heartache. And there's life and there's health in forgiving others. They can forgive. They can heal and thrive in life. With his wisdom, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Lord our God is unlimited. As we draw near to him and receive his knowledge, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as we're faithful with his word, our lives become unlimited also. As we grow, Satan fights us in different ways and that we may not expect. He does the same kind of tactics, though. He enters our life through three avenues: our weaknesses, hurts, and fears. Now, perfect love drives our fear. The Word of God helps us destroy our weaknesses. And then when we forgive others, our hurts heal. As we love other people that's terrorizing us, you know, not most people don't go that far with it, but when we love people, we're free. We become free. We become healthy again. We know that they don't like us. They may work against us. You may not get the raise you deserve. You may not get the recognition that you have earned. But when you love them anyway, and that's something that a lot of people have a problem with. But think about this for a moment. Put yourself in God's position. God desperately he loves us greatly. He's not desperate. I almost said desperate. But he loves us greatly and thoroughly. He has his love is, if you could see it, it'll be greater than any mountain. He loves us a lot. Now, in heaven, your love is measured by what people do for you. Whenever there's a reference of God's love, God so loved the world, the people of the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. He laid down his life for us, the sheep. Jesus does love us. God loves us. God sent his only begotten son, and his only begotten son came willingly, and he did everything it took to lay down his life. And this was not easy for him, but he loved us that he saw us, and he did what had to be done. And he'd do it again, because his love is without depth. His love is great. And he, you know, we grow, so God, we're made in God's image, so God does too. He grows from glory to glory because we grow from glory to glory. Everything in heaven becomes greater. And I love God. And we ran from him. We did all the things. From the time we first heard about Jesus, how he died for us, people don't just come running to God. They run from him for a while. Most people don't get saved the moment they hear about Jesus. They hear a little here and a little there, and the seed works in their heart. Some people, they get angry when you try to tell them about Jesus. They fuss at you. Next thing you know, they're saved.